إن الحمد لله أحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you, my dear brothers in Islam. We continue as every Saturday morning after Fajr here at Masjid Tawheed in Stone Mountain, Georgia. We continue reading from the Al-Mulakhas fi Sharh Kitab al-Tawheed, the concise commentary and explanation on Kitab al-Tawheed by our beloved Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, actually, hafidhahu Allah ta'ala, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan. This morning, insha'Allah ta'ala, we ask Allah to make it easy for us, and we go ahead and bring you the last two narrations, inshallah ta'ala, in this chapter, chapter number 2. In this chapter here that we've been learning about Fadlu al-Tawheed wa ma yukaffiru min al-Dhunub. Fadlu al-Tawheed wa ma yukaffiru min al-Dhunub. The superiority of Tawheed, Islamic monotheism, and what it removes of sins. And what it removes of sins. So Imam Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahu ta'ala, he brought another narration. Qala wa an Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال قال موسى يا رب علمني شيئا أذكرك وأدعوك به قال قل يا موسى لا إله إلا الله قال أي موسى يا رب كل عبادك يقولون هذا قال يا موسى لو أن السماوات السبع وعامرهن غيري والأراضين السبع في كفة ولا إله إلا الله في كفة مالت بهن لا إله إلا الله رواه ابن حبان والحاكم صححه. Now in this narration here, on the authority of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Musa alayhi salam said, Oh my Rabb, my Lord, O my Rabb, teach me something through which I can remember you and supplicate to you. Allah answered, Say, O Musa, La ilaha illallah. Say, O Musa, La ilaha illallah. Musa alayhi salam said, O my Rabb, all your slaves say these words. Allah said, O Musa, if the seven heavens and all they contain other than me, yani غيري, and the seven earths as well, were all put in one side of the scale, or of his scale, and لا إله إلا الله put in other, the latter would overweight them. This hadith has been reported by Ibn Hibban, and Al-Hakim declared it sahih. In a footnote here, as about ghayri, other than me, he says this phrase ghayri is the exception from what is in the heavens. It should not be misunderstood that Allah is contained within the heavens or earth, since He has described Himself in the Quran as a transcendence, most high above all. You can check the verse 255 in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 5, Surah Taha, verse 59, Surah Al-Furqan, and many places elsewhere in his book. Indeed, the statement in another is another proof that Allah cannot be considered within the creation.
Can you repeat ayah? Sorry.
2, 255, 25, 59. I gave you the chapter first and then the verse. So here in this narration, first of all, Shaykh Saleh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he gives us a brief biography on Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu. Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri huwa Sa'd ibn Malik. Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan. That's his name. He's famously known as Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, but in some narration you may find his name, Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan, and you may not know that he is Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. It's like Abu Huraira. Almost everybody knows Abu Huraira, like this name, Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira. But what's his name? Somebody know his name? نعم
عبد الرحمن بن صخر
أي نعم
عبد الرحمن بن صخر
أي الدوسي عبد الرحمن بن صخر الدوسي because sometimes they may say عبد الرحمن بن صخر طيب so he is أبو سعيد الخدري سعد بن مالك بن سنان الخزرجي الأنصاري الخدري نسبة إلى بني خديرة. So he is from the Ansar, not from the Muhajirin. He's from the Ansar, and he was from the youth amongst the Sahaba in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was from the Khazraj. The Ansar have different tribes, but one of the main tribes is this one, Al-Khazraj, and the other one is Al-Aus. صحابي جليل وابن صحابي. So he is a noble companion, son of a companion. His father was a companion, radiyallahu anhu. روى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحاديث كثيرة. He has narrated many, many narrations on behalf of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم or from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. مات سنة 74 للهجرة. He died in a year 74 of the Hijrah. So he stayed after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a while. And he is considered from the seven companions who have narrated the most hadith. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. Along with Abu Huraira, Aisha radiyallahu anha,
Ibn Abdullah.
You were doing fine. Abdullah ibn Abbas.
Umar ibn Khattab.
Abdullah ibn Umar.
Ibn Mas'ud.
Sayyid
al-Arab. Jabir ibn Abdullah. Radiallahu anhu. And last one.
موسى العشري.
أحسنت أنس. طيب موسى here the sheikh he says هو موسى بن عمران رسول الله إلى بني إسرائيل وكليم الرحمن. He is Musa ibn Imran, the messenger of Allah who sent him to Bani Israel. Kalim al-Rahman, Allah spoke to Musa directly. Wa kallam Allah Musa taklima. Al-ma'na al-ijmali lil-hadith. The general meaning and explanation of this hadith. Yaqulu fadilat al-shaykh al-walid, al-doktor Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. أن موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام طلب من ربه عز وجل أن يعلمه ذكرا يثني عليه به ويتوسل إليه به. He said here in this narration, موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام asked from his Lord to teach him a supplication in which he used to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. He wants to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a supplication, and he asked Allah to teach him that supplication so that he can use it to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَرْشَدَهُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَقُولَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell him to say La ilaha illallah. To say La ilaha illallah. فأدرك موسى أن هذه الكلمة كثير ذكرها على ألسنة الخلق. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى, says, but Musa, when Allah directed him to say La ilaha illallah, Musa noticed that this statement, La ilaha illallah, many of the creation say it. Many. وَهُوَ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَخُصَّهُ بِذِكْرٍ يَمْتَازُ بِهِ عَنْ غَيْرِهِ. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzani says, but as for Musa alayhi salam, he wants a specific dua for him that he can be distinguished from other creation. فَبَيَّنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ عِظَمَ فَضْلِ هَذَا الذِّكْرِ الَّذِي أَرْشَدَهُ إِلَيْهِ وأنه لا شيء يعادله في الفضل. والله سبحانه وتعالى showed موسى عليه السلام the superiority and the virtue of this statement لا إله إلا الله that he has directed him to say. And in the hadith Allah سبحانه وتعالى mentioned to موسى عليه السلام that there is nothing, nothing overweight this statement in virtue and in superiority, the statement of La ilaha illallah. So once again, a brief summary to the summary of the Shaykh is that Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh my Lord, teach me something, a supplication that I can praise you with. I can remember you and praise you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed him to say La ilaha illallah. Say La ilaha illallah. If you say La ilaha illallah, you're praising me. And that's a supplication. And you remember me. But Musa alayhi salam, he wanted something special for him. Since he mentioned that all of the creation says La ilaha illallah, give me something else, special. He wants to be distinguished, you know. Something that not everybody is saying. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to him that there is nothing better than this one. This is it. In superiority and in virtue. The statement of La ilaha illallah. Munasabatul hadithi lilbab. Now the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, as we taught you before, or shared with you that, actually, is that The Shaykh, he has a manhaj in explaining these narrations or the ayat in the chapters. If you see first, the Shaykh, he brings the brief biography on the narrator of the hadith. Sometimes it be more than one. Sometimes even he may bring us a brief biography on whatever names mentioned in the narration. And then after that, he will break down some words, the key words in the hadith or in the ayah. Because sometimes when you just read them, subhanAllah, wait until you see what the Shaykh says about them. And you gain a lot of benefits. And then he will, usually the Shaykh, he will bring munasabat al-hadith lil-bab, the relevance of the hadith to this chapter. Ain Sultan. Madri, I just want to make, I forget, when I was coming, there was a white van that has a light on. Baal Mustad, forget. So that was him? Tayyib, alhamdulillah, jazakumullah khair. Afwan, nasit, Baal Mustad. Then the Shaykh will bring the relevance of this hadith to the chapter, meaning why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab chose this hadith as a proof into this chapter, and then he will bring the general meaning. But sometimes I see it in some of the chapters, now he will bring the meaning, general meaning before that. And then he will bring in the end, مَا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ, what are the benefits, some of the benefits that we can deduct and gain from this narration or from this verse, from the verses of Allah.
What's the second one? The biography, and then?
Then some words, the key words. He will explain some key words. Like in the hadith. Like say, he tell you Musa, alayhi salam, who is Musa? And he's something else. Like here, adhkuruka. When Musa, alayhi salam, said adhkuruka, usually this word is translated as remembrance. I remember you with. But the Shaykh, he says, yes, I remember you, but it means uthni alayka wa ahmaduka bihi. See? Not just remembrance with the tongue, but I'm using it. Yes, I'm remembering you, but with the intention to praise you, Allah, and venerate you and exalt you. So these are some benefits he gained. And so does the benefits of the remembrance of Allah. As Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahu ta'ala, Shaykh ibn Baz and others, they says, when you make dua and when you remember in Allah, it's not just like lip service. You have to do it with the intention that you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of all praise. مناسبة الحديث للباب أن فيه بيان فضل كلمة التوحيد وأنه لا شيء يعادلها في الفضيلة. Remember now, this chapter is about the superiority of tawheed and what it removes of sins. He says, he brought this hadith because it contains the superiority of this statement of tawheed. لا إله إلا الله. And then nothing is like it when it comes to this virtue, the virtue and superiority of tawheed. So we should say it, Allah Ya Akhwan, La ilaha illallah, to increase from that. مَا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ, what are some of the benefits that we can deduct from this hadith? أولاً, Shaykh brought 9 benefits. Number 1, عظم فضل لا إله إلا الله. عظم فضل لا إله إلا الله لما تتضمنه من التوحيد والإخلاص. The great virtue and superiority of لا إله إلا الله, because of that which it contains of Tawheed, Islamic monotheism, and Ikhlas, sincerity. That's what makes this statement great and have greater virtue and superiority, because it comprises Tawheed, Islamic monotheism, La ilaha illallah, And also ikhlas. The ulama, they call it, this is the statement of ikhlas. Statement of sincerity, ikhlas. Number two, Fadlu Musa alayhi salam wa hirsuhu ala taqarrub ila Allah. Likewise, this narration is from those many narrations that highlights the virtue of Musa alayhi salam. The virtue of the Prophet of Allah, Musa alayhi salam, min ulil azm. He is from the five messengers of ulil azm, strong will. They call them in English strong will. But ulul azmi min al-rusul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ulul azm. وَاسْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala address our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاسْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ And be patient as أُولُو الْعَزْمِ amongst the messengers were patient. And they are Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and our beloved Prophet, the seal of the prophets and messengers, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib alayhi salatu wassalam. So this narration highlights the virtue of Musa alayhi salam and his zeal and eagerness to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فإن كان هذا من رسول من أولي العزم فما بالك نحن. If this is the case for a messenger from the أولي العزم, so we learn from them and we apply what they applied. We may not apply everything they did, but let us get closer to what they used to do instead to just keep talking. Say لا إله إلا الله. And it's easy to say La ilaha illallah. Is it difficult? It's not like you have to be genius in Arabic language to say La ilaha illallah. We've been saying La ilaha illallah. It's not like, oh man, a lot of virtue, but how am I going to learn that? Sajid, you know La ilaha illallah? Say La ilaha illallah to all of us. You hear him? I don't think they hear you clearly. Say it in a nice voice. Nah, everybody knows La ilaha illallah. And it's easy. Do you have to be somewhere to say La ilaha illallah? Do we have a take to say, listen, that's a great virtue, but you just have to be in front of the Kaaba? No, you can say it anywhere you want. At home, in the masjid, in your way to the masjid, in your way to the market, while you're doing your groceries. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Number three, أن العبادة لا تكون إلا بما شرعه الله وليس للإنسان أن يبتدع فيها من عند نفسه لأن موسى طلب من ربه أن يعلمه ما يذكره به. Allahu Akbar. Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, he says number three, that عبادة, worship, is not considered an act of worship except if it is legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one has the right to innovate in worship. In other terms, to be creative and add here and bring a little bit here and no one has the right to innovate and bring stuff from himself, the Shaykh says, min indi nafsihi. The proof is that Musa alayhi salam, he asked from his Lord, from Allah, to teach him that which he used to praise him and remember him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ibadah, which is people, they perform acts of worship, they should learn. In other terms, they should learn before you act. You want to worship Allah? You're going to do it by what Allah has legislated. Don't come up with anything from yourself. We should not come with anything from ourselves. Rather, we should limit ourselves to what Allah has legislated. And we need to learn that. All we need to do is to learn. And to follow. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, تَبِعُوا وَلَا تَبْتَدِعُوا فَقَدْ كُفِيتُمْ. Follow and do not innovate. You have been given enough. And these statements of the Sahaba, they are taken from statements of the Quran and the Sunnah. Because Allah tells us in the Quran, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Follow that which was revealed to you from your Lord. And do not follow anything else from, doesn't matter who may say it. And that which was revealed to us from Allah is the Quran and the Hikmah. The Quran and the Sunnah. Sunnah is revelation, ya akhwan. And that's what we are commanded to follow. It's very important. It doesn't matter how an act of worship may seem so nice and good and a lot of people doing it. It may make sense to your intellect. But stop. At that moment, stop. And say, wait a minute. This is an act of worship. I want to do it to get closer to Allah. Nothing going to get me closer to Allah but that which Allah has legislated. And then check if that action, the worship, that it may look so good. Many people are doing it. Alaykum as-salam. Then ask, is it legislated or not? If it's not legislated, doesn't matter how many people are following it. Leave it alone. Doesn't matter how people praise it. And it doesn't matter. Sometimes people, they do things and they have Allah's mention and they praise Allah in it. Or they praise the Prophet ﷺ. But it's an act of innovations. It's not because what the people are saying. People are praying, ya akhi. They're making salat. People are making dua, reciting the Quran. But then since they're doing it in a way that is not legislated, that's what makes it an innovation. That's why it's very important sometimes you go to someone and say, akhi, somebody was reading the Quran or making dua. Say, akhi, that's an innovation, mashallah. Now the first thing that person may tell you, subhanAllah, making dua is innovation. La ilaha illallah. No, you guys, subhanAllah, you guys too. Very extreme. I'm just making dua, akhi. What do you think I'm doing? I'm making dua to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm supplicating. I'm asking Allah. And you tell me innovation? And you tell him, no, not the dua. The way you're doing the dua. Likewise, the salat. Some people, they make the salat, but they don't in not as legislated. Like once, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah ta'ala, saw a man after Fajr. Because there is no nafl after Fajr. There is no salat after Fajr. Salat al-Fajr until sunrise. But this man, he just stood up and keep praying. But Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, he told him, Akhi, he said, La taf'al, don't do this. The man said to him, Ayu'addibun Allah al-salat? He said to him, you're telling me that Allah will punish me because I'm praying? See, so the people they go. He says, La, walakin an mukhalafati sunnah. He says, no, Allah won't punish you because you're praying, but because you're going against the sunnah. Because you're going against the sunnah. You can't pray, but now you're doing it this time and this time, it's prohibited. It's not from the sunnah. It's not because of the salat. Yes, we are encouraged to pray. Won't you wake up for tahajjud and pray all you want? Mathna, mathna. Okay? So it's very important for us to remember this. Is see how the tawheed, the minhaj, is all together, ikhwan. Okay? Right here, kitab al-tawheed, we have a minhaj. Warning against innovations. Number four, أَنَّ مَشْتَدَّتِ الْحَاجَةُ وَالضَّرُورَةُ إِلَيْهِ كَانَ أَكْثَرَ وُجُودًا فَإِنَّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لما كان العالم مضطرا إليها كانت أكثر الأذكار وجودا وأيسرها حصولا. هذا قاعدة that the things that the people need the most, it exists in abundance. It's not rare. He says the example here is La ilaha illallah. If an alim is in dire need for it, then it is from those supplications that are found in abundance. And it's easy. Easy for you to say La ilaha illallah. This is not just for only few people can say La ilaha illallah. Allah has made it easy for anybody to say it. Anybody who wants to be a part of this great effort and getting near to Allah and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can. Unlike in this dunya for other things, yaqi, there is, for instance, not everybody fly first class. Right or wrong. On the same plane. Well, they all get on the same time anyway. Right or wrong. It's not like first class, they get there 5 hours before you or something. But not everybody. It's like it's a privilege for only certain people. Certain people. Likewise, even you make Hajj. Certain people, man, they stay in a 5-star hotel. In Hajj. Some people, man, they weigh in some, I don't know, sleep maybe on the street. Yeah, you can have no means to pay for. So there is privilege. Some people, they drive a car of $300,000. And to them, it's like nothing. It's like they just spent $300. Some people, man, $300 is a concern. Where I'm going to get it? But subhanAllah, look, La ilaha illallah, you be rich, you be poor, doesn't matter, man. Just say it. You want it or not? You don't have to say, man, how much money I have. I don't have enough money to say La ilaha illallah. What do you mean? It has nothing to do with money. Allah has made it easy. Just say it. You want good for yourself? Well, listen, man. Say La ilaha illallah. Cut down of all of this stuff. Oh, guess what, man? This, that. Talking about sports, talking about this and that, politics. The White House, Green House, Black House, Red House, Yellow House. Leave that stuff alone, man. Talk about these things if you have to. Somebody asks you questions or whatever the case is. But keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah. لا يزال لسانك رطبا بذكر الله. Constantly remember Allah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Send the salat and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why sometimes you see somebody sitting by himself, don't talk much, and you think he's not talking. You think he's not moving his tongue. Yes, he is. But the remembrance of Allah. And sometimes a person like that sitting in one place, corner, you give him salam, then he give you the salam, and then he keep going, and some people, they think like he's arrogant. Look, I give him the salam, he ain't talking to me. Why he want to talk to you? He gave you the salam, alhamdulillah. If you ask him a question, he's going to answer it. He's going to tell you yes or no. But that person, man, he's saying la ilaha illallah. Making dua. So it's very important for us, ikhwan, to behave in this manner. That's what salafiyya is. This our salaf. Our salaf is what the Prophet ﷺ was upon and what the companions were upon. We need to change everything about ourselves, not just the way we look. Many of us did that, alhamdulillah. Many changed their names, those who weren't born in a Muslim family. They changed their names, alhamdulillah. So let us change the inside too. A strong outside starts inside. Okay? So let us change the way we do things. Like for instance, now here, we stick to the text. Let us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us remind one another. You get in a car, because shaitan is very, you know, diligent. As soon as a couple of brothers get in a car, and they be silent. And one has to break the ice, right? Or break the silence. He want to, like they call it, break the... Who's going to break the silence? By what? By telling them, oh, guess what, akhi, the baseball. That's how you break it. You're breaking your back. Allahu musta'an, Allah salamu afiyah. Even if somebody is remembering Allah, you're now, subhanAllah, you're bothering somebody, man, interfering with somebody's ibadah. Now you get in that car and remember, and tell the people, ikhwan, remember Allah, inshallah. This is only a brief reminder from your brother, okay? I'm not saying that you don't remember Allah, but mashallah, this is from the remembrance of Allah and the importance of it. Share with you a story we heard on the internet about Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. That Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he lives in Unayza. He used to live in Unayza in Al-Qasim. It's like in the middle part of Saudi, between Riyadh and Medina, somewhere right there. I may be wrong, you know. But it's like, it's not on the ocean, it's not close to Medina or Mecca, not next, but it's right there, between maybe Riyadh and Medina, right there. Close to Ha'il and those Provence. So they said that Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala, he was coming back from a journey with some of his students in a car. And you know, in Saudi highways, man, many highways, they just cut through the desert, akhi. Beautiful, beautiful scenery, man. Allahu Akbar. They cut through deserts. And it's extremely hot, especially in the summer. Tayyib. It's extremely hot. Extremely hot. So here they, as they driving, they passed this person walking on a sidewalk, walking in a desert, hot. Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen, he says, did we just pass somebody walking? They says yes. He said, stop the car. At least, he said, minal adab. Can I check? See if he needs something, what happened to him. So they backed up. And they asked him, Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, they gave him the salam. And he said to him, we can offer you the ride if you go in our direction. Where are you going? The man says, I'm going to Unayza. Same direction. I'm going to Unayza. This is the city where Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala used to live. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said to him, hey, Allahu Akbar, we're going to Unayza too. We don't mind if you want to catch a ride with us. The man said, Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh. Barakallahu fiq. Yeah, I would love to. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen says, with conditions, two conditions. The man says, what is that? He says, you remember Allah. And while you're with us, you increase from the remembrance of Allah, and you don't smoke. No smoking in this car. He didn't ask him, do you smoke? Show me your pack. I smell smoke. No, he just said to him, and no smoking in this car. The man says, no problem, deal. As for the remembrance of Allah, alhamdulillah, we're Muslims. We should remember Allah much. And jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh, for the nasiha. He says, as for smoking, well, that's why I'm here, walking. says, I was in a car, in a cab with certain people, but they smoke. Ikhwan, don't smoke. They didn't want to hear. I said, listen, listen. Stop. Stop that car. I can't be with you guys. Just drop me here. It's like in the middle of this. Akhi, Allah will take care of me. Don't worry about that. You guys, I can't be with you guys. Subhanallah. Then Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen says that now the car is moving. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen said to his students, all right, take care of the guests. They gave him some juice. You have something to eat. Alhamdulillah. Make him comfortable. Unlike some people, Allah al-Musta'an. Are we going to pick him up? Okay, pack everything, pick everything. Where's the cooler? They put everything in the cooler. Do good for yourself, man. Whatever that person drinks something, man, it's good for you and for him. That's your brother in Islam. So Shaykh al-Uthaymeen began to ask that person, he says, you going to Unayza? You're from Unayza? The man says, no, I'm not from Unayza. Shaykh says, you going to visit some family or friend? He says, no, I got nobody there. No friends, no families. I just have one very important question I want to ask Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. See, he don't know who he's talking to. He said, I just have a very important question to ask Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said to him, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, sometimes he breaks them, you know, he brings humor. He said to him, why didn't you ask him earlier when he was talking to you? He said, why didn't you ask him earlier when he was talking to you? Over there. Then the man is like, what? He says, yeah, he was talking to you. And you were talking to him. The man said, I was talking to Ibn Uthaymeen earlier. He says, yeah. I saw you with my both eyes talking to him. The man said to him, Sheikh, don't. Zakallah khair, Sheikh. Zakallah khair. He thinks like the Sheikh is playing with him. He said, Sheikh, Zakallah khair. It's not the time for this, okay? All right. So they keep going. When they get to the place, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen said to the man, look, see that masjid over there? Inshallah. If you pray Asr over there, Sheikh may be there. Maybe there, inshallah. So they say, Jazakallah khair, and barakallah fi. And then the man went to the masjid, waited. He waited. After the salah, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he sits for the people, they have any questions or something. Before you know it, the man was surprised. That's the Sheikh. He didn't tell him, I am Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen. I'm bringing this story because it contains the remembrance of Allah. He said to him, remember Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was in a car with our beloved Sheikh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali many times, alhamdulillah. Because when I go to his house, I usually catch a ride with him to the masjid or go here or there. And he always remembering Allah. It's amazing. Constantly, because the Sheikh, he sits, he has a driver. Sheikh doesn't drive. And he sits in, okay. And I usually sit right behind him. And he constantly remembering Allah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, la hawla wa la quwwata. And then he starts, كيف حالك? حياك الله. How's everything? How's da'wah? How's family? And then, as soon as I'm like, you know us, we want to go expand. And he cut me off by saying, La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. He's like, come on, man, I ask you, give me an answer, and go back and do what you're doing. Allahu Akbar. That's how I look at it. How's the da'wah? Oh, the da'wah, Shaykh, alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, alhamdulillah. Shut me down. That's how I look at it. Like, listen, man. Because the mashayikh, because they're nice. Sometimes they ask you questions, they don't want you to elaborate and write 30 pages. No, they just want you to say, alhamdulillah, Shaykh, barakallahu fiqh. La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, it's amazing. Even when he gives talks, you listen to Sheikh talks, Sheikh Rabi'. Subhanallah. He remind me of the Sheikh Ibn Baz talks. Sheikh Ibn Baz too, rahimahu ta'ala. A lot of remembrance of Allah. All the ulama. And I'm just telling you those that I was close to. Sheikh Ubaid too. Sheikh Salih al-Suhaimi. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, you sit in his class. When he comes, subhanAllah, you hear like, if you're close. Because sometimes you're not that close, but you see, you hear the humming. They remember Allah. While he's sitting on the chair, and they, because they have to fix the mic and stuff sometimes, they're remembering Allah. La ilaha illallah. And these are our examples that we follow. So we can't just be sitting down and not doing anything. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. And with the remembrance of Allah, do hearts feel at ease, ya ikhwan? Some hearts are tense, hard. Try remembrance of Allah. It softens the hearts. Number 5, أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَوْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ لِقَوْلِهِ وَعَامِرَهُنَّ غَيْرِي. That also this is a proof that Allah is above the heavens. Of course, in a manner that befits His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 6, أَنَّهُ لَا بُدَّ فِي الذِّكْرِ بِهَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ مِنَ التَّلَفُّذِ بِهَا كُلِّهَا وَلَا يَقْتَصِرُ عَلَى لَفْدِ الْجَلَالَةِ اللَّهِ كَمَا يَفْعَلُهُ بَعْدُ الْجُهَالِ. Another refutation against the people of innovation, especially the extreme among the Sufis. The Shaykh says, it is a must while you're remembering Allah through this statement, La ilaha illallah, that you say it all. That you say, La ilaha illallah. And do not say only Allah as some ignorants do. The Sufis, the extreme, they say Allah, 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 Allah. That's what they say. Now you're going to say, La ilaha illallah. Shaykh says, you don't just say Allah, 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 Allah. No. These are the extreme Sufis, they say that. They even go to extreme and they say, who? What would they say? Say, La ilaha illallah. Number 6, we said that, right? Number 7, إِثْبَاتُ مِيزَانِ الْأَعْمَالِ وَأَنَّهُ حَقٌّ. That this narration affirm the scale which the deeds will be weighed. And it is true. The scale is true because some of the deviant groups, they deny that. And that's a refutation against them. Number 8, أَنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ يَحْتَاجُونَ إِلَى التَّنْبِيهِ عَلَى فَضْلِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. La ilaha illallah. That the prophets are reminded about the virtue of La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. The prophets are reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the superiority of La ilaha illallah. Because Musa alayhi salam, when he asked Allah, teach me, oh my Rabb, teach me statement, a supplication, a dua that I will say, I praise you with. He said, say La ilaha illallah. Musa, knowing that, alayhi salam, many people say La ilaha illallah, many creations say La ilaha illallah, says, I want something special, you know, La. He says, there's nothing better than this one. That's why Sheikh Fawzan, hafidhahu ta'ala, he says, Anbiya yahtajun, are in need to be reminded of the virtue and superiority of La ilaha illallah. What about me and you? This is a good reminder for us, this class, this morning, alhamdulillah, to constantly say La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. Man kana akhira kalamihi La ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. If somebody's last statement in this dunya was La ilaha illallah, will enter al-jannah, ya akhi. Make it a habit, constantly, while you're driving, you know, hey, once you get in that car, subhanAllah, you don't know what's going to happen to you. Right or wrong? Abu Sajid.
That's right.
Some people, they say, I got skills. What the guy behind you, you know he has skills? Huh? All right, some people say, I've been driving 50 years, I got skills. All right. Alhamdulillah, we have no problem with that. You got skills, you know how to drive. What about 65 people around you in the highway? They all have skills? Tell me, Abdul Qayyum. Some of them, maybe he just got his license. Maybe he just learning. Somebody maybe has even better skills than you, but what? He's drunk. Right or wrong. A lady, I don't know, she just have an argument with her, whatever he is. Huh? And she's not, she's mad, she's not even thinking. Huh? Right or wrong. That's how many accidents happen. Somebody running, akhi, from who? From the police. Running. If somebody running from the police, he's going to go speed limit? 3 times speed limit. Sometimes they come from all different ways, right or wrong. They don't have 1 way, 2 ways, 3 ways, all ways. They go through a supermarket and come the other way if they can. Didn't you see it sometimes? Sometimes they have the opposite way. They jump on the other side. Some people know how accident, something fall of them from the bridge. Right or wrong? Yeah, they driving, alhamdulillah, having fun. La ilaha. So what happened that day? Somebody listening to some music? Because he's alone, I got nobody. Music. Jay-Z, whatever it is. A'udhu billah. Now, but when somebody from the masjid, oh, he give me a ride. Oh yeah, yeah, alhamdulillah. Put Abdul Basit, Abdul Samad. Husari. Why? Do it when you're alone, man. La ilaha illallah. You never know when you're going to die. And inshallah, you're saying La ilaha illallah. You're listening to the Quran. You're listening to a class. You're remembering Allah. The brake fade. You can catch a tire, flat tire, right or wrong? Can you imagine a flat tire? You're going 60 miles an hour. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. You don't know what may happen. And you're remembering Allah, that's good for you. Make it a habit. That's what the ulama day says. How are you going to die on this? You got to make it a habit. Inshallah ta'ala. Number 9, أَنَّ الْأَرَادِينَ سَبْعٌ كَالسَّمَوَاتِ. Likewise, the benefit number 9, that the earths are 7 as well. Same like the heavens are 7, the earths are 7. وللترمذي وحسنه عن أنس رضي الله عنه سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول قال الله تعالى يا ابن آدم لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. This is a subhanallah, a beautiful hadith. Imam al-Tirmidhi رحمه تعالى reported from Anas رضي الله عنه that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Allah the Most Exalted said, this is a hadith Qudsi, O son of Adam, were you to come to me with the world full of sins and meet me without making anything partner to me, meaning no shirk, I would come to you with a similar amount of forgiveness. Anas, who's Anas? Who was Anas ibn Malik ibn Nadr al-Ansari al-Khazraji, Khadim Rasulillah. He is Anas ibn Malik ibn Nadr al-Ansari. He's from the Ansar, from the Khazraj, like Abu Sa'id. What's Abu Sa'id's name? Ahsant. Sa'd ibn Malik. Tayyib. He's a servant of the Messenger of Allah قَالَ خَدَمْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ 10 سِنِينَ. As he himself, Anas says, I served the Messenger of Allah 10 years. He never told me in these 10 years for something I did, why did you do it? For something I didn't do, why didn't you do it? SubhanAllah, 10 years. Akhlaq, ya akhi. Akhlaq aliyah. Sometimes some of us, Allah al-Musta'an, now we're talking about our children, they even say sorry 10 times. We're not even paying attention to the thing. Now tell me why you didn't do it. 10 years. Never told him something. Why he did this for something he did. Or why he didn't do this for something he didn't. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أكثر ماله وولده وأدخله الجنة. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم make a dua for him. He says, oh Allah, give him abundance in wealth and children and admit him to paradise. That's a beautiful dua. مات سنة 92 وقيل 93 وقد جاوز المئة. They says he died in the year 92 or 93 of the Hijrah and he passed 100. Like he was over 100 in his age. نعم المعنى الإجمالي الحديد, the general meaning of this narration, يخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ربي عز وجل أنه يخاطب عباده ويبين لهم سعة فضله ورحمته وأنه يغفر الذنوب مهما كثرت ما دامت دون الشرك. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan says in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is informing us that his Lord, our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, address his servants and make clear to them the vastness of his virtue, his bounty and his mercy, and that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive all the sins. Doesn't matter how big, and doesn't matter the numbers of those sins, the quantity of the sins, as long as those sins are less than shirk. As less than shirk. وهذا الحديث مطلق قوله تعالى في سورة النساء إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. The Shaykh says this hadith, the meaning of this hadith is the similar to the meaning in the ayah in Surah An-Nisa 116 and 48. It is repeated in both 116 and 48. Indeed, Allah does not forgive that partners to be set with Him in worship, and He forgives anything else to whom He will. مناسبة الحديث للباب, the relevance of this chapter or this hadith to this chapter. قال أن فيه دليلا على كثرة ثواب التوحيد وأنه يكفر الذنوب مهما كثرت. This hadith was chosen by Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى into this chapter because in it is a proof that shows the abundance of the reward and the virtues and a bounty of tawheed. The great things that you get because of tawheed, because being upon the tawheed. And that the tawheed expiate the sins. Doesn't matter how many there may be. ما يستفاد من الحديث. What is some of the benefits from this hadith? Number one, فضل التوحيد وكثرة ثوابه. The virtue and superiority of the tawheed. And the great reward a person gain by being upon tawheed. Number two, ساعة فضل الله وجوده وجوده من الكرم. ورحمته وعفوه. Also this hadith highlight the vastness of the bounty of Allah, His generosity, His mercy, and His pardon and forgiveness. The vastness, subhanAllah. Number three, الرد على الخوارج الذين يكفرون مرتكب الكبير التي هي دون الشرك. Once again, منهج in the Kitab al-Tawheed. We just have to know how to get it. That's why we have the ulama. He says also in this hadith is a refutation against the khawarij, who they pass takfir. They consider as disbelievers the one who fall into major sin that is less than shirk. This is a clear refutation against them. Number four, إثبات الكلام لله عز وجل على ما يليق بجلاله. Also, this narration is from those narrations that affirm speech for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in a manner that befits His majesty. Allah speaks. Number five, فيه بيان لمعنى لا إله إلا الله، وأنه ترك الشرك قليله وكثيره، ولا يكفي قولها باللسان. Also this hadith, in it, it contains the meaning of La ilaha illallah. It brings us the meaning of La ilaha illallah, which consists of leaving all shirk, the little of it and the lot of it, all the shirk. Even if it's little, it doesn't have to be always a lot of shirk. And it's not enough, also he said, that a person just say it with his tongue, just to say La ilaha illallah. It's not enough. We have to act upon its prerequisites. Lastly, number 6, إِثْبَاتُ الْبَعْثِ وَالْحِسَابِ وَالْجَزَاءِ. Likewise, this is one of those narrations that affirm the bath, the resurrection, hisab, accounting, reckoning, and jaza, contributions and retribution, recompense, and the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. And by this we came to an end, inshaAllah ta'ala, to this chapter. The next chapter, inshaAllah ta'ala, chapter number 3 in Kitab al-Tawheed, من حقق التوحيد دخل الجنة بغير حساب. Who purifies Tawheed from shirk, he's upon the correct Tawheed. He purifies it from shirk, and whatever nullifies it and the like and impair it, will enter paradise without giving an account. Allahu Akbar. So Allah nij'alna minhum. So Allah nij'alna minhum. So Allah nij'alna minhum. جزاكم الله خيرا أشكر لكم حسن إنساتكم واستماعكم. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.